Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go.
Tick, 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 tick. That clock can't tick fast enough for the fans at Madison Square Garden, let me tell you.
Greetings and welcome inside an action-packed Wednesday here on Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Night two of the NBA season as it opens up. Look, we're going to have opening night for the next five nights, right?
Opening night.
I mean, every night for the first month of the season is opening night. Oh, first time these two teams are playing. This is the really fun way that the NBA begins, unlike a lot of other leagues where, hey, all right, we have the season starting and maybe we have a divisional matchup. No. Every night is opening night for like a month for the NBA. And right,
it's like
now,
Major League Baseball, right? When you have all those home openers that drift off for weeks, like, what are they? They finally get home. They're 2-7 after the long road trip. Let's go. Let's celebrate opening day. Well, but we already know we suck.
Three games get snowed out. One game is rained out. One game is hailed out. So the postponed home opener will be Wednesday afternoon at 9 a.m. So be sure to come out to the game. But clearly, look, the headline game of the night, the Knicks. And this, we'll get to the Dodgers and the Braves in a second, but the Knicks and the Celtics, just under 90 seconds left to go in New York, and the Knicks with a 109-104 lead over the Celtics. I thought Jaylen Brown was going to score 100 with 25 in the first quarter of the Knicks, but then I said to myself, no, everything is fine. The Knicks, their new additions are going to start ramping it up. They're going to start putting points on the board. We're going to reel the Celtics in, and that's exactly what's happened. All five Knicks starters in double figures, started off by 2021-2022 MVP Julius Randle, because I'm going to throw it out there early enough to get it started right now. He's got 30 to go along with six rebounds, and the Knicks on our way to 74-8, 109-104. Just to be, I have not been this excited about a Knicks opening night. I can't tell you how long. Because last year was more, okay, maybe, but how many times have I thought, you know, okay, maybe, and then the Knicks are just terrible, right? Like, they got a little bit of, no, we find out very quickly they're terrible. But coming off of last year with the regular season they had, you got the bad taste in your mouth of the playoff. You add two really good offensive players in Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker, who combined for 25 tonight. And I can't tell you how excited I am about the start of this season. Now, if they blow this lead to the Celtics and they lose, I won't be excited anymore. But right now, I'm as excited as I can be, Mike Harmon.
Oh, you have to stay excited, though, because you still have, you know, a nice, long, slow-paced marathon till April, Jason. Till April. You got 6 months of this, so pace yourself. Don't get overexcited on one night. Oh, too high, too low. This is like you want to be the Bears hanging out with Goldilocks. You want to be just right. Jaylen Brown back, 12 of 21, 34 points, 6 boards, 4 assists for the Celtics, plus 17 on the night. But the guy you have to look at, the stat line, everybody's favorite, Jason Tatum, just 5 of 22. Maybe he bulked up too much. I don't know. 14 points, 1 of 10 from 3-point range, 14-7-3 on the night with a big -5 in the plus-minus column. So your Knicks trying to make some big shots, trying to keep some separation. You had a big, hey, I'm going to throw the ball off you moment, you know, in a gym that starts a brawl. But here it's a, oh, I got you. Don't come into the lane next time. So, you know, all that fun keeps flowing here in the final minute. We got Denver and Phoenix coming up next. You got a Dodgers-Braves game that is going into, like, hour 9. I mean, it is a fantastic Wednesday of sports activity. And you already have a bunch of really great games in the books from the NBA from earlier tonight, including, yes, that new-look Chicago Bulls team taking down the Detroit Pistons on the road, 94-88.
Yeah, but look, Detroit's terrible, and Cade Cunningham didn't play. This is about
Zach LaVine, 34 points on the night.
Go New York, go New York. Evan Fournier with a three on cue. Fournier with a three on cue. Knicks have a 6-point lead now. It's just exciting. It's exciting. No, congratulations on your win. That was very nice. And maybe it'll be, hey, Knicks, Bulls, Eastern Conference Finals, I'm okay with that. I am absolutely okay with that. Look, the Knicks had just to tell you real quick before we get to the Dodgers and the Braves, the Celtics had an 8-0 run that cut the Knicks' lead to 3. It's 109-106. The Knicks have the ball, the minute left to go. You think, okay, we got to take some time off the clock. They'll go down to Julius Randle. This is the difference in the Knicks. Instead, very early in the shot clock, Evan Fournier comes off a screen, says, gimme, gimme, gimme. Catch and shoot, hits a 3. Spike Lee in that crazy ass suit
is so excited. Suit. I would
That's
wear
a $10,000 suit. Come on.
I want that suit. Are you kidding me? That is a fantastic suit. I might get one that looks like that for Super Bowl coverage, man. Let's go. I got the fedoras on the wall. I got the wall of fedoras. Now we just need to add the suit for it. Let's go.
Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go. It's all new. Mike Harmon, it's going to be like 1995 again with the way how good the Knicks are going to be this year.
Look at you.
74-8. Here we go. But
as long as we don't have any parallel storylines like the last time we saw the Knicks running into the finals.
Yeah, no, that is true. Hopefully, that'd really be something if OJ gets chased again. I was just
going to leave it out there for those smart enough to go back and do the mental math to go, hey, what was going on? It's like, oh, crap. Just said, you know what? I'm going to punctuate that right now. I am going to slam dunk it like it is opening night at the Garden.
Well, I had to do it because really, technically, the last time we were in the finals, we lost to the Spurs. But people remember the other one, so I had to slam that down there for the Knicks.
People forget the Spurs one.
Yeah, I know. I was
as well. They should.
Yeah, well, it was a strike year. It was a lot of craziness. But
Matt, it was crazy times. Let me tell you.
But that's the difference in the Knicks from this year to next, and from last year to this, is that two more players with big-time firepower in Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier. No one else is going to make that shot last year. No one else is coming off a screen. R.J. Barrett's not coming off a screen saying, give me the ball and give me this shot, and I'm going to give us a 6-point lead with 45 seconds left where things got weird. Now suddenly this happens. I'm telling you, people are sleeping on the Knicks. Now, if they blow this game, again, I'll disagree. But right now, I'm telling you, people are sleeping on the Knicks and the firepower these guys are going to bring. This is going to be a phenomenal year. I am incredibly excited. So we'll have more on this game. With 10 seconds left, the Knicks are up by 4. But right now in Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, a little bit of life. They were down 5-0 to the Braves. Not a big night for Julio Urias, who has given up 11 home runs tonight and only have 5 runs. It's not been a great night for him. It's not been a great night for him reacting to plays in the field. But the Dodgers make it a little close. A.J. Pollock with a single to right center brings in a couple of runs to make it 5-2. So it's still a game as the Braves bat here in the top of the 6th inning with 1 out. Now, this is a first guess here before we get into it. Because, look, the game unfolds. The Dodgers still bat 3 more times. We saw them strike like lightning last night. Certainly the Dodgers are a good enough team. But right now, I'll give you my 2-bit instant analysis right now. The Dodgers kind of look like a team that's run out of gas a little bit, and they just keep trying to scrape the bottom of that barrel for whatever more energy, whatever more vapors they could get to try to go forward, because that's kind of been the postseason in a nutshell for them against the Braves in this series. But really, this underscores, look at the problems that Urias is having that he hasn't had all season long, right? He's had to come in relief. He didn't pitch well the other night. Now, tonight, he's starting. He didn't pitch well. The Dodgers have had now a couple of bullpen games they've had to go through. And clearly, I had a cough.
Well, and another one scheduled for tomorrow, yeah. Jason, well, look, just to finish your point, right?
And that's the other point, is that, yeah, they have the bullpen game scheduled for tomorrow. So tonight, when Urias clearly doesn't have it, he clearly didn't have it tonight. He stays in the game longer because Dave Roberts knows, I got to go to the bullpen game tomorrow, okay? He gives up 3 home runs in the first 3 innings. He doesn't have it, yet he stays in the game enough to give up 5 runs. Can't do it. Can't do that. You got to be able to go to your bullpen when your starter doesn't have it. You can't manage this game like you're managing the regular season. Well, my bullpen is cooked. We'll see if we can come back this game. This is game 89 of 162. You have to manage differently. You have to manage to try to continue to win this game, because if Urias comes out, say, after the 3rd home run and you're throwing zeros, it's a 3-2 game in the top of the 6th, and you're not chasing 3 runs. But this is the thing. This is with the Dodgers, and you can blame Dave Roberts all you want for the bullpen mismanagement. Yes, he does that, and yes, the team relies too much on matchups, and we have to go to this matchup here and this matchup here, and this is what we're going to do regardless of the feel of the game. But the number one reason why you're seeing the Dodgers in this trouble right now, it all goes back to Clayton Kershaw. When Kershaw couldn't pitch, they lost their fourth starter, and so now all their other starters have to go on short rest, and you're bringing guys in from the bullpen, and Urias has to pitch out of the bullpen when he shouldn't need to, and you have to have a bullpen game, so you can't go to your bullpen like you want to during a game where your starters are pitching because Clayton Kershaw's not there. And that's the big ticket about dealing with and relying on Kershaw to win games for you. You can't. And that was a huge blow going into the postseason because the games are too close together. And with an extra series, you can't just say, well, we have our three arms now and we're going to throw those guys out there. They can't. So you're going to have to wind up pitching a bullpen game, which means your bullpen's going to be cooked for another game, which means you have to play mix and match. And I get it's all hands on deck, but not having Kershaw has crushed the Dodgers. Because even if he's not Clayton Kershaw, he's still someone that's going to give you five or six innings. Let's say he gives up two or three runs. Okay, you're still able to manage the game better, but without having him and having to continue to have meatball surgery to bring guys in and you're moving people in like you're playing a video game, that's really difficult to work. And that, more than anything else, is why the Dodgers are where they are right now.
See, I'll go even more elemental than that. The bats have disappeared. Right, the three hits they got to score two runs in the sixth, or in the fifth, I should say, those were the first three hits of the game. Trey Turner's been awful. He was your National League batting champion, right? He's batting 188. You look at Corey Seager's had a couple of big hits, the home runs, quiet otherwise. Gavin Lux, as an outfielder, you're taking your chances because he's a guy who's not familiar with the position, and he's getting learning trial by fire. And then at the plate, he's not been good. Justin Turner hitting 222. Just go on down the line. You've had to rely on big hits from Cody Bellinger, who was in there on the wish and the hope and the fact that you got injuries, right? Losing Max Muncy is the world. And yes, go back to the game against the Giants. You can look at the game two, Urias, you don't have the luxury, to your point of Clayton Kershaw. And then it extrapolates from there. Like in this game, if your bats, are at least serviceable, right? The big flies that are going out against you are coming back in even at a 2-1 rate. You're at least still in a game. But at this point, everybody's had to try to pitch to perfection. And Julio Urias tonight, 92 pitches, gave you five innings. You needed seven. You've got all your high leverage guys that you haven't necessarily taxed, but everybody in between, the starting rotation and that back end, when you get to Trinan, and even you got a little bit of sweating Jansen, one of our shows in development here at Fox Sports Radio, you can't hit Drew Smyly, you got problems. How do you like that? Do I put it that way?
It is, yeah. Look, because it's a great point you make, because all the other teams are going through these issues as well. But the Dodgers seem to be affected by them more because, hey, we're counting these games with Bueller and even when Kershaw's pitching, and Scherzer and Urias, they're givens. Like, these are givens in the playoff. These are games we expect to win every game these guys pitch, and it just doesn't happen that way. So when you have to move on the fly as a result, you don't make all the right moves. Clearly, Dave Roberts doesn't make all the right moves. And now, some bullpen moves he makes are great and it works. He doesn't get the credit when he does, and he should.
Right.
But when you're now at a, hey, all these pitchers we expected to be great aren't, and Max Scherzer's got a dead arm, and Urias has given up three home runs in the first four batters, and he's still screwed up from a really bad inning of relief from a couple of games ago, what do you really expect? I mean, that's just how it's going to go. It hurts the Dodgers more than it does anybody else. It's almost as if, because you have a team with players who aren't counted on like the Dodgers count on these guys, hey, we're good. Right, hey, we're gonna do the best we can, and if these guys can give us three good innings, awesome. If not, we have the next man up mentality. But when you're stuck, when you expect it from somebody, it's more difficult to adjust. It's a really difficult needle for the Dodgers to thread here, and that's kind of why they are where they are. I'm telling you.
It is certainly a muddled mess right now for the Dodgers, trying to figure out where they can find can lightning strike again. I just keep going to the point. If you can't put up a run in the first five, you're living on borrowed time anyway.
Mm. So 5-2, middle of the sixth inning, the Dodgers are coming up to bat. Meanwhile, the Knicks have decided we're going to give this game away to the Boston Celtics. That lockdown Knicks defense clearly not there at the end of the game, and the Celtics are able to eat into that 8-point lead and send it to overtime. With a 3-point lead and 4 seconds left, the Celtics inbound the ball, and Jason Tatum falls down. Doesn't matter. Still able to get the ball up the court to a wide-open Marcus Smart, who drains a three, and that sends the game to overtime. The Knicks had this. It was an 8-point lead. It's getting lower. It's getting lower. Doesn't matter. The Knicks give it away, and now we're going to go to overtime, and I'm sure the Celtics are going to rip off the first 10 points of overtime, and I'm going to say, I hate basketball. I'm done. I'm no longer excited about the Knicks because we blew this game one. Sometimes it happens, Mike Harmon. Happens just like that.
Yeah, last night we talked to Nikki Sixx, the Motley Crue's going back on tour. You know who else is? The Red Hot Chili Peppers. Give it away now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Braves and the Dodgers still 5-2. Braves with the lead. Dodgers batting two out. Nobody on. Bottom of the sixth. Braves looking to take a 3-1 lead. Meanwhile, earlier, another big inning. Apparently, the Astros are going to pick, one inning a game where we're just going to score like 6 runs. They do it tonight to Boston, not in the ninth inning, but in the sixth inning. They go with for 5, breaking open a 1-0 game. And now the Astros are 1 game away from the World Series, taking game 5, 9-1. And here we are, another year, the Astros are back, and they're going to be giving middle fingers to everybody. They got to win one of the last two, going back home. Oh, this is a great middle finger revenge tour for the Astros going on.
Yeah, folks may not like it, but here's the thing you have to appreciate. Because all of us at some point in our life, man, woman, child, you've had a moment where professional wrestling grabbed you. It might have been a fleeting moment, but it grabbed you. And one thing you have to appreciate about the Astros, from Dusty Baker on down the line, they embrace being the heel, right? I'm going to tap my wrist and show you what time it is in my post-game interviews. I'm giving you nothing. I'll admit to nothing, but I got that twinkle in my eye as I look at the camera and I'm like, yeah, you know I got you, right? The whole thing. And you're in rapture. Why? Because you want to be loved or hated. And in this case, hate me while I go and start creating paths towards postseason records when we look at what Altuve has become in his career, right? What he's doing on a year-to-year basis. May not like it, may still cast aspersions on it all. But as of now, the records, the results, the rings, they all count, which means styling and profiling. You may hate it. I'm certainly not a fan of it based on my team being eliminated by them, but it's good for business, and that's what it's all about.
Speaking of good for business, we're getting double overtime between the Knicks and the Celtics. They couldn't miss the first 3 minutes of overtime, and then they couldn't make one. So
then it was a bunch of air balls and lobs and things gone wrong.
128-128 going to double overtime, and who needs Ben Simmons, at least not Philadelphia, as they are in the process of finishing off a 117-97 victory over the Pelicans. No Ben Simmons, doesn't matter.
No Zion.
And no Zion for the Pelicans, but for the Sixers at least, okay, they get a win, and now they can answer all the post-game questions about Ben Simmons, which we'll get to.
Doc, do you need Ben Simmons back?
No, I'm not going to answer those questions right now. We got guys tonight that are good, all right? Steph Curry was great for us.
Doc, you have Steph Curry.
That's what I said, Steph Curry. He's great for us. He had 10 points tonight.
No, it's Seth Curry. He's on last year.
We made that trade. We made that move. No, we got it. That's it. Wait, it's really another Curry. Oh, all right. Never mind. Hey, Joel Embiid at 22. Go talk to him.
So that's all happening. We'll get to the latest drama because Doc Rivers, you know, put himself in the middle of it again today with the 76ers. But this new trade possibility that's starting to gain a lot of momentum. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle reports that the Texans could trade Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins by the end of this week. There are 2 weeks left until the trade deadline, and right now we're starting to get a look at, okay, well, the Jets going to trade Marcus May. Are we going to see Michael Gallup get traded by the Cowboys? And now, bam, here comes the story of potentially Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins. And the other part of this is that it would be a three-team trade that could potentially see Tua Tagovailoa going to the Washington football team. So a three-team trade of some point where Tua goes to Washington and Houston sends Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins in exchange for whatever they kept saying they've wanted for Deshaun Watson all along. Now, there's many different angles to this. This is a really big story. The first one is this, to talk about this part, because this is what should tell you a lot about the Miami Dolphins. They want a guy with 22 sexual assault cases hanging over his head rather than Tua Tagovailoa. That's what they want. We still want this guy. Everything going on, everything that we don't know about his future and how, when he's going to play again, if he's going to play again, nope, we still want that guy. I feel dirty. I feel coated in slime that this is actually going on and it's being met with, yeah, we're going to go trade for this guy. I mean, we have found a way to lose morals by the day in this country. And I look at this and I go, you can't wait and see how it goes and see if he's actually in good standing with the league. If he's not, no, we still want him. But what if he, no, we still want a guy. This is a really bad thing that you're okay with trading for this player, particularly when his situation has not been resolved. Now, maybe it is resolved and he's able to play. And if he's able to play, that's how it works, right? So I get that. But this is really bad. And you're talking about teams saying, yeah, we're okay going out trading for this guy. This is such a seedy side of sports that, again, I feel slimy and gross just talking about it because that's where I'm at with this, that we want a guy with these sexual assault cases possibly going to stop his career or whatever. No, we still want this guy. That's gross.
Well, in the end, he's got a bunch of allegations, right? There's not charges, right? It's all allegations. And yes, they are numerous and they are disturbing. But at this point, if he and the Texans were getting along, he could be in the lineup right now, right? They don't always take action on every allegation. We've seen it in some respects, right? Where there's no criminal component and yet it still goes to the personal conduct policy, and I have to believe that whatever happens, eventually he does. And so the NFL, as we use the term so often with them, it's another ham-handed move to not at least have some official position on it all, but he's getting his due process in as well. So in this case, if you're the Miami Dolphins or if any other team were to emerge as a would-be suitor, in this case, you're looking at a distressed property because there's a lot of unknowns, right? It's buying the house or buying the car that you see parked along the street. You got those in your neighborhood? I don't know. I got one when I get off the freeway where there's about a block and a half where every weekend day there's like five or six cars that just have a price tag and a phone number. Right there, you have no idea if they're in any kind of shape. Kind of buyer beware. Same thing, a house. Hey, you know what? I waived all the inspections. Why? Well, I plan maybe to knock it down, but either way, so you're buying, you know, unknown, right? It's a blind box, you know, and we do an unboxing of baseball cards or whatever else. You're taking your shot. Same thing here with Deshaun Watson. You have no idea how it's going to turn out, but maybe you've already decided, A, your team's not where you thought it was. Because remember, we were talking about the Dolphins as a team with a great roster, and all of this is built, and they're ready to win, and, well, what are they doing? They're floundering. And all of a sudden it becomes this massive indictment of Tua, whether he's the guy or just a guy. I don't know that you've seen enough. There are parts of games where he looks like he's in control, but it's not like he's getting a lot of support and you don't really have the roster you anticipate. But I think if you were to do the ranking of players, assuming Deshaun Watson's available, Well, he's still a top, what, seven player at the position? Top 10, top five, I don't know, wherever you want to put that, because, you know, you separate the player versus the man in this respect. And for the Dolphins, if they think, based on their own investigation, that he may just face a 4 or 6 game suspension from the league, maybe you're getting a guy who becomes an absolute bargain. Maybe this spurs on, you know, great things for him in his life and, you know, whatever. He becomes active in communities, whatever. Or it goes the other way. But at this point, if a team's willing to take on that risk, I don't see why they shouldn't be able to.
Legally, you can, yes. Legally, because it's obvious the NFL has not wanted to step in and have any sort of role in this, which, I mean, come on, you're the NFL. This is a really bad story. This is not. This is 22 people, and I get that it's moving slow, and I understand that you we're trying to try this in the press. I get it. This is still a player that has had 22 women accuse him of sexual misconduct. And to say, yes, not only are you eligible to be traded, but there's a team that actually wants to do it, and it doesn't matter. Really, where are we going? I mean, what does this tell you about the NFL? I mean, we always say, hey, if you can play, you can play. But wow, this is something that could have been stopped, and the emergency brake could have been thrown so many times in this. You know what? Hang on, he's going to go on the exempt list. Hang on, he's going to go here. But now there's been no talk of that. And I would hope the NFL would intervene and say, all right, if you guys are really close to a trade, we're going to tell you he's going to be on the exempt list for a while. And then see if the Dolphins still want to go forward. They still want to go forward with that? I mean, what can you do? I mean, you know, there are so many more evidence every day that we are getting morally bankrupt. And this is the sports example of it. If you want to trade for him when he is cleared, if he is cleared, I get it. I understand that part of it. I get that's how the world works. You can agree or disagree with that, but all right. But this is still in the balance. We still don't know how this is going. This is still 22 misconduct lawsuits.
But you can't also, I don't think, Jason, I don't think you can also assume that it's, you know, he's guilty and therefore everything stops.
It's got to stop until this figures end, until you figure out an end to this. It's got to stop for Trevor Bauer until they figure out an end to it. And the wheels of justice do turn slow. And that's the unfortunate part for everybody. You want a speedy trial. You want some kind of resolution. Well, all right. Well, stay out of these situations. You know, there's 99.99999% of athletes who every night don't get charges filed against them for sexual misconduct.
Absolutely.
So, you
no
know,
question.
That's where, unfortunately, hey, I'm sorry, but while this is going on, you have to sit out while this is figured out.
Yeah, in the absence of a decision, as it stands right now, you know, if you're the Dolphins and you can get Houston to come down off of what I think we could all argue, even in the best of circumstances, and there's nothing out there in the larger world of allegations, that it's still a ridiculous ask based on what's been leaked in terms of, you know, compensation for Deshaun Watson. I think reasonable folks can get to that. But certainly, you know, I understand your point. And certainly it's the case. But as we've seen, where we're at and where the NFL is, they're taking the innocent until proven guilty. And even then, it's still not criminal. So I'm just curious, like, if he was on better terms with Houston, would he be playing right now? Or would they have decided to sit him down? Or would the NFL have taken action?
Ooh, don't ask that because that would force me to make a decision. Ooh, we don't want to make a
decision. But that's the thing, right? If these guys were getting – but that's just it. We're playing the game of hypotheticals with all this because there are a number of reports that also refuted McClain's report very quickly saying, yeah, this is no closer today than it was 2 months ago.
Well, right? I will tell you one thing definitively. At this point, because now too many things have happened, if I'm Tua, I go in and say – you know what? I'm not going to play for you guys anymore. I'm not going to sit here and have you throw me out there for trade. Tell me you love me. Tell me you're a guy. But still you want – it's obvious you want to get rid of me. So you know what? Trade me. Sit me until that because I don't want to get hurt. I want to be able to go to my next team and play quarterback, right? I want to start for Washington in a couple of weeks. So you know what? You start somebody else. You trade me and move on because to do this to a guy who hasn't even really had his chance to prove what he's done and who has done everything right, there's been no reports of, hey, Tua's doing this wrong. He's this. You know, it's just there's a portion of that franchise that just doesn't believe in him. And okay, I get it. But if I'm Tua at this point, it's like, you know what? You can't keep disrespecting me like this as an athlete, as a person. I'm not going to play. I am not going to play until you trade me because this is just too much to go through. And obviously my future's not here, so I'm not going out and risking getting hurt when my future is clearly someplace else. So now you go make this trade. Now you trade me. Now you want to. If you can't, I'm sorry, but I'm going to sit and you're still going to pay me, and then I'm going to go someplace else, and then I'm going to play for that team. That's the definitive part of this where I would do if I was Tua.
Now, that would be an interesting spin. Like, to where I sit, it's like you got an opportunity to show your wares for, because there are a number of teams that are still looking for quarterbacks, and maybe they're already turning their attention to the draft class of 2022. But, you know, watching Tua and when they've actually had some competent receivers out there, been some nice throws. We had some nice throws as they got through their early progressions with Jalen Waddle. I mean, they've got a nice connection going there. But it goes back to something I've been saying all along. It's the, you may like him, but Deshaun Watson, if not in legal hell, you like more, right? So that's what Miami, if they're looking at it and trying to say, all right, we really can get a game changer. We got a guy, but we can get one of the guys. And so for Tua, you know, it's, you handle it as best you can, because I don't know if you're at the point where you go scorched earth, and I don't know that you show up in sweatpants and a cell phone in your pocket yet.
I'm going, sorry, all
I got to bring it all together, you know. So it's that kind of thing. But certainly, you know, he's got to kind of have that come to Jesus with Brian Flores and just be a professional, right? At this point, you're a grown-ass man. You know, there's always going to be, while you're a quarterback and your team's not winning, there's going to be speculation about your job, fair or not.
Yeah, no, I get it. But the other part of it is that it's been so many times, it's been so unfair. And I think about, I want my future to be good, because clearly it's not here. Clearly I am not your future. So you want to do me right by this, then I'm going to sit, and then you're going to pay me, and then you're going to trade me, and I'm going to go someplace else where I can be a quarterback. Because that's a thing where I could say, and I could say, you know what? And nobody would say, you know what? I can't believe you're quitting on your team. Because if he goes out and gets hurt, what happens? What happens? So that's why I sit out now. I say, no. Now you've screwed me enough. Now you got to trade me, and I'm going to sit until you do it.
Claim you got a hamstring injury or a back injury?
You like that.
I'm just trying to figure out how you best orchestrate this so that you don't become the bad guy. I'm trying to look out for, you know, Tua's image here, because right now all he comes across is a guy who's working his ass off to come back off a horrible hip injury to kind of live up to expectations and leaving it all on the field. Is it always pretty? No. But the fact of the matter is, you also don't want to torpedo any goodwill that you've built.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
True.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to get to, well, the sports story that is the number one, number two, number three,
Cleveland!
Number four, number five trending topics in the world on social media right
one,
now. The
two,
number
three,
all five.
Four, five.
It can't be the Knicks.
Do you want to know what the five topics are?
Is it Knicks, Adele?
Knicks, Tatum, Fournier, Jaylen Brown, Kemba. Then some reality TV show, I have no idea what it is, Married at First Sight. Then it's Smart and Randall. And then all the way down to 10, congratulations, buddy, Bulls. Congratulations, you're there, buddy. You're there. You made the top 10. You made
this
the top 10.
This is sports trending?
Okay. This is United States Trends. Go to United States Trends.
Okay.
Knicks, Tatum, Fournier, Jaylen Brown. Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York. But we'll get to that.
Because my mind for you are so all over the place, it's not even funny.
Well, no, that's not funny.
I got
that's
Pablo go Sandoval in mind, for crying out loud.
I got Pablo Sandoval in mind for you. But in the trending, which is what everybody wants to know, it's Knicks at the top. Knicks. But Tomorrow night, we have Thursday night football, and we're not going to get Baker Mayfield, right? Case Keenum, remember Case Keenum last time throwing that touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs in the playoffs? Right now, they're on both on new teams. Case Keenum's going to start as Baker Mayfield is still too injured to play with his bad left shoulder. Now, I'm going to throw a big what if for you out here, Mike.
It's a final for Baker Mayfield.
It's remember, I said last night, boy, how bad does my Browns-Patriots AFC Championship game pick look right now? If Case Keenum comes in and is really good, and let's be honest, we've seen him do this exact thing before with the Vikings, a team that had enough weapons. Keenum comes in. Look at this. Look how well they're playing. Look at, he has a season that nobody expects. It ends with that crazy touchdown pass. Case Keenum's a guy, and then turns back into Case Keenum, and now he's looking for his next chance. In theory, it would be an offense that would be great, but they have two injured running backs. They got two injured offensive linemen. You're not getting anything out of Odell Beckham. Jarvis Landry is
well, he's hurt too.
Return. Right. So it's not quite coming in saying I can take over and be great. But if he comes in like this and is good, you have to go to him. You have to stick with him and not bring Baker Mayfield back until something happens that says, okay, we got to bring Mayfield back. Because right now, Mayfield's been okay. He's been a middle-of-the-pack guy. And the Browns' offense is clearly struggling, right? So if someone comes in and lights it up, especially when they don't have a lot of weapons, you got to stick with him. If Case Keenum comes in tomorrow night and throws for 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns and the Browns win, you're like, well, you got to stick with him. You can't just go right back to Baker Mayfield because the Browns need something. You need a spark right now. And if he brings you a spark, you got to stick with it. And if you think it can't happen again, what I just said 30 seconds ago, we watched it happen with the Vikings just a couple of years ago. It was only in 2018 we saw that big run.
Well, I think the biggest thing is to your point of all those injuries, right? Chubb and Hunt are probably not going to be available a bit. You know, they're hopeful Nick Chubb with the Thursday game missing one and then the break, maybe he gets back and Kareem Hunt goes to IR. So now we're looking at D'Ernest Johnson and Demetric Felton. Felton probably more if you're in your PPR league in desperation. Why? Because all the receivers are hurt. Like you said, Odell and Jarvis Landry. So it's more David Njoku and Donovan Peoples-Jones who caught the Hail Mary last week. So yeah, Case Keenum, fire him up for fantasy. And if you're the Browns, here you go. Jump start. Tow me away. Oh, wait. I got a Jethro Tull reference in at the end of the first hour. I rule!
Snot running down his nose. Bam, bam. Coming up next, we got two big NBA stories coming your way. Jason and Mike, this is Fox.